Hello, I'm Danielle Ellis.
And I'm Skylar Bailey.
And we're the hosts of Something About Science.
In this special episode, we're going to be speaking to Pietro Gatti, Associate Director and Future Tech Leader at Illumina.
So, Pietro, thank you for joining us. Would you like to introduce your role at Illumina a little bit more?
Thank you, Danielle. Thank you for having me, Danielle and Skylar. So yes, my name is Pietro Gatti. So I've been at Illumina for 8.5 years now. I spent 8 of those in the R&D group in the UK, and where my responsibilities were really to help develop and innovate and create our technology roadmap. So both in terms of reagents and sequencers. Now, more recently, I moved into the strategic role I'm in the EU, where I really trying to bridge a gap between R&D and customer, both thinking about how we can, you know, help people make the most of NGS and how we can generate the best products we can.
Fantastic, thank you. And can you explain to our listeners what next generation sequencing is and how it differs from the traditional Sanger sequencing method?
Yeah, I can try. So I think when traditionally when people think about sequencing, use what is called the Sanger sequencing method, which is first of all a fantastic method. Friedrich Sanger, who invented it, was awarded his second Nobel Prize because of it, and he had a fantastic effect in the world of molecular biology and science in general. So I'll try to explain it that without any graphical support. Let's see how it goes. Anyway, think about it this way. In Sanger sequencing, each piece of DNA is extended and is incorporated with some molecules that will stop it from incorporating it. So what this happens is basically you end up with a ladder. You can imagine you have all the different sizes of the DNA molecule staggered one after the other. Now, if you're very clever, as Friedrich Sanger was, you can put a label at the end of each one of them and you can read it. So you have literally a ladder of different length and you can read A, T, C, G in each one of them. And by doing this, you can reconstruct the whole sequence. Now, this is pretty clever, you know, a fantastic technology. The downside of it is that it's fairly laborious. It takes quite a bit of time and is very difficult to scale. So there comes next generation sequencing, which, you know, in the last 20 years, the few technologies came into prominence for this. And I will describe largely Illumina's. The concept is still very similar. You're still trying to get the sequence of all the molecules of DNA and put the letters of the genetic code in order. But rather than doing it all together, you just fragment the DNA in a lot of different small molecules, and then you can do it in a high throughput way. Basically, you can acquire the sequence of all the individual molecules you have on the system. Now, this has some obvious benefit, which is you can do it in a much larger scale, so the cost will go down, the speed will go up massively. There's another advantage, which it may be not that well known, but I really like to highlight. If you look at all of them individually, rather than all of them together, as you do with Sanger, you can also look at the differences, the heterogeneity that there is in the sample. So if there is like a mutation, which is there like 5% of the cases, you can see that with next generation sequencing, while you wouldn't be able to see that with Sanger.
I know that's one to go. Yeah, going on from that point, that leads perfectly into the next question. You know, if you can spot those mutations more easily, how has then next generation sequencing transformed the landscape of genomics, in particular in medical research and spotting those mutations?
Yeah, it's a fantastic question. You know, when thinking about this, there are so many possible answers. So I would like to split my answer in two. I think there's a technical part of this and then an implication part of this. I think in terms of technical changes from next generation sequencing is really the cost and the speed more than anything else. I want to give a couple of numbers to put this in perspective. Most people will be familiar with the whole genome project that happened in the year 2000. In there, I think there are different ways to calculate the price, but you know, in the end, the cost of that one single genome that took 15 months to put together was in the order of $300 million, right? 10 years later, when next generation sequencing was becoming more and more popular, the cost would have been about, you know, still in the orders of millions. In 2015, we got down to $4,000. And now with the latest products from Illumina, you can get in the range of a few hundred dollars to have a whole genome, and you can get it in a day rather than in 15 months. So I think from a technical perspective, it just, you know, this is the scale of the changes that was possible. to your point, Danielle, what does it mean for people, for customers, our customers, and then for people using the information that the customer put together? So this is where it gets really interesting. One aspect which I know that Illumina is very keen on is really broadening the access to genomic information. So you can imagine that if it takes, you know, a highly specialized skill set, 15 months and millions of dollars, it's very difficult to generate information. If you all of a sudden you can do it with, you know, a lab and an instrument fully automated, just very simple to run, and it takes you thousands of pounds. Now the range of studies that people can think of are very different. So you see like application like, you know, liquid biopsies, cancer testing, prenatal testing, all these things that traditionally were be done with different technology now all of a sudden become possible with NGS, which I think is you know, is quite exciting. If you don't stop me, I'll carry on, because the other thing I really wanted to point out actually is the concept of personalized medicine. Because of the ability to go cheaper, broader, and more, then all of a sudden, rather than having one genome, we have, you know, the 100K genome, for example, project done in the UK a few years back. And there's another very important project, which I think is called the Pangenome Project, which is really, really trying to get the genome that represents the heterogeneity of human population across the globe, rather than a subset of them. And by doing all of this, we just generate a lot of information about the relationship between genes, health information, you know, how people, you know, respond to treatments and so on, and really opening up what personalized medicine is. So rather than giving a blanket treatment to everyone, we can target treatments, target medicines, target, you know, any form of treatment depending on genetic predisposition of people. Now this is starting now, I think is brilliant, and I think in the future we're going to see more of it.
So it kind of leads on to my next question, what you've just been saying about personalized medicine. Do you think this is what sets Illumina apart from other players in the field? Like, what has been the key to your success and leadership within kind of the realm of NGS?
Yeah, and another very good question. Let's put it this way. I think, you know, to get to the point where we are at, you know, to start be talking seriously about all these applications and personalized medicine, we needed the technical improvement. We needed the cost to be where it is. We needed the timing to be where it is. And I think there's something that Illumina has really invested on in the last 10, 15 years, I would say. I think it was around, you know, already in 2012, and then later on, you know, the record of the fastest analysis for a newborn, an infant with a genetic disease. And the turnaround time of providing that information recently has gone down to like 13 hours. And these are very impactful changes driven by the technology, the workflow, you know, the stability of the instruments and so on. They really can bring us here to talk about what this can be, what this can mean for, you know, for people, for real life cases, for people that need a diagnosis in very short time. So I think, you know, that the technology, the effort that Illumina put on technology in the last couple of decades really took the world of NGS where we can start having these conversations, cost, turnaround time, and so on. Of course, it's not just this. I think from the point of view, to get to the bottom of your question, Shaila, I think, you know, when we start to talk about what Illumina brings to the table, is the technology, is the cost, and so on, is also a lot more, is the attention to the customer, is the robustness in the system, is all this work that is sort of invisible somehow, but really makes an offering so compelling, you know, the support system, the stability, all the analysis, and the look at workflow. You know, for a long time, NGS, next generation sequencing, has been a bit of a, you know, an academic research. So people were able to fiddle around with the instrument and make it happen, right? Now we've got to the point where you can be new to the field, new to NGS. You can still large, you know, with very little support from the company, run your own system and really deliver what your customers, what, you know, our customers need in terms of information.
On the technology, a big leap in Illumina's technology has been the XLEAP SBS. Is that right? Is that how you pronounce it properly?
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, okay. Has been the XLEAP SBS. And that's really enhanced the sequencing process. Can you tell us a little bit more about XLEAP and the sort of benefits it provides?
Yes, I can. And actually, I've been involved in this from the very beginning. So the risk is that I will start, I will not stop. So to prevent me from doing this, I'll step back a bit to say that I will answer your question. I think actually SBS has been transformational, and I'm really keen on, people knowing about this and knowing what it means. I just want to say that this is an excellent example of everything coming out from Illumina in terms of innovation. Illumina, I think most people will agree, is really he's built, his role and his situation, his prominence in the field, if you want, by never stop innovating. So we do that on library prep, on how we design the instruments, on the reagents we put into the instruments, but also, for example, on the analysis. There are some excellent work done recently in which a new way of analyzing the data is providing fantastic outcomes for our customers. And actually, PestBS, I think, is a nice example of this. So to basically step back and summarize it. So Illumina, until roughly a year ago, was commercializing the version of the technology called SBS, which is really the chemistry, the underpinning all of the instruments I've been using in Illumina so far. Now, this dates back to 1998 when it was first conceived and then developed and then commercialized from the mid-noughties onwards. And so there's a historical knowledge in the system, so in the company around this system, which never really stopped. So at different points in this trajectory in these last 20 years, people in the company have been sitting down and say, okay, what will the next iteration of this chemistry be like? What would it need to deliver? How can it be different? And when we thought about this, we could look back down to 2008, 9, or 10, where some proof of concept data were actually generated to assess where we could go. Now, to cut a long story short, from 2018, there was a project specific about XSLEEP SBS, where we started looking at how to bring this new innovation together. This was 5 years. We did the math, was hundreds of chemical compounds, thousands of biochemical compounds, even more combination of reagents and everything that were just looked at. Because it is not just a matter of changing one or two compounds, it's really a matter of reinventing how all the part of SBS, which by the way, we never define SBS, is called sequencing by synthesis. And this, all of the reagents that create the system really need to work together. So if you change one, you need to go back and reassess all of the other and then change all of the others. And this took the best part of 5 years, hundreds of people, all the research sites in the company were involved to really bring this to the place where it is now.
Fantastic, and thank you for that defining that as well for our listeners. So could you give some examples of how XSLEEP SBS could accelerate specific fields in specific areas?
Yes, so I didn't cover this in my answer before. I think the main benefits of XSLEEP SBS and why we're so keen on the new range of instruments coming out that adopted this technology is that it really delivers quality improvements, which, by the way, is what Illumina has really been investing the most on over these 2 decades, and this never stopped with XSLEEP. If anything, it sped up, but also changes in a way in which the instruments can be designed around this technology. An example is the NovaSeq X instrument that was released last year, which integrates XSLEEP SBS together with other innovation like lyophilization of the reagents, new fluidic system, new optical system, and now all of a sudden you have sort of the instrument that people used to know from before for Illumina, easy to use, very well performing, very high quality. But now, for example, the reagents can be shipped at room temperature rather than frozen. And this all of a sudden means rather than having like stockpiles of frozen reagents being shipped around the globe, now you have a much smaller and more energy efficient, environmentally friendly reagents being shipped around. So what does it mean for our customer, for application? First of all, the logistics of it change. And even though people like me, who is the technologist, the core, I tend to think and focus on the technology. But in real life, our customer need to worry about how they handle the instrument and then the laboratory as well. And this is where, this next level of innovation is really playing a big role. On the other side, there is a logistical aspect of the instrument aspect. There's also the improved quality and stability on the instrument that we expect is going to lead to you know, higher quality one, maybe longer sequencing one that enable new application and really leveraging the improved performance on our sequencers. And I forgot to say that before, so I'll take this opportunity, Shaila. I hope you forgive me. I think that the beauty of, you know, working at Illumina is that you create this technology, you have a clear plan of what they're going to do, then you release them, and then our customer pick them up and they will do something else with them. So we're very keen to see what else our customers will make happen with XLIP SBS and how that will improve healthcare and generally speaking the population.
So Pietro, you mentioned before about the chemistry behind next generation sequencing, and maybe perhaps we could go into a little bit about XLIP in particular, the chemistry behind it and the science, the technical science. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I could try. So just for clarity, SBS and hence XLIP SBS is the chemistry that happens inside our sequencer that you use to decode information from DNA. Just very quickly, this is a part of the process. And before we can do that, we need three other steps. One is the preparation of the sample. Again, we usually have a biological sample. This could be a biopsy, this could be blood, this could be you know, soil or a nasal swab, for example. So you need to take the biological sample and convert it into a piece of DNA, a purified sample of DNA. Once you've done that, which as I'm sure you can appreciate, is all different depending on the sample, the origin of the sample. Then there is a way to convert it into something that can be sequenced. And we call this process library prep, so preparation for the library. So the DNA is usually cut in a specific way and parts are added to it to make it suitable for, you know, for being loaded on our instrument and decoded on a sequencer. One other aspect which is very important in the sequencing process of Illumina is the amplification of DNA. So I was saying before that one of the advantages of NGS is that we can look at many molecules in parallel. Now, to do that, we need to generate enough signal of that. So there's a process called amplification, class amplification, where we make more copies of each individual sample, and this helps with the detection. Now, after we've done all of it, and I should say the last part happens on our instrument, so it's fully automated and people don't even need to know about it in reality because it just happens automatically. Then you get to the decoding part, which is where SBS comes into play. So SBS is a number of reagents that basically allow the labeling of DNA with specific molecules that can then are optically analyzed in a way that helps really understanding what nucleotide base was present at each position in each of these millions or billions of DNA molecules present on the flow cell. So if you do this, you have this reversible terminator chemistry, which basically allows you to iterate this process. And you basically, you can really think you walk on a piece of DNA and you detect each individual base one after the other. Of course, you know that the biochemistry and chemistry part, then there's a very important software component as well, which needs to take all this information and translate it into not only the information itself, but also we're talking about quality, you know, the confidence in the quality of this data, and then down the line how you translate the sequence of the DNA, which is really the most basic part of the information, into actionable information. So you have a sequence. How does it match with what you expect to have? How different is it? Where are the differences? What we need to do with this information? So, you know, later on, analysis part on the sequencing output. I try not to be too technical. I hope this gives an overview of all the different steps in the process.
Yeah. One of the terms when we think about next-generation sequencing that's used a lot is the term accuracy and improving accuracy. But what does greater accuracy actually mean in terms of like you said, your customers going on with your technology, if it's got improved accuracy, what does that mean for them when they're investigating the human genome or the diagnosis of genetic disorders? What impact does that improved accuracy have?
So you pick on another of my favorite topics after XLIP SBS, so be ready for a lengthy answer, which I'll try to contain. So yes, there's a lot of talk about accuracy, about sequencing quality and so on. And I think it's very obvious that there is, because there is Illumina, you know, there's a number of alternative providers as well. And of course, our customers need to worry about how to get in the best product and why that's, you know, that's important. So I think it's very important that everybody thinks about quality. And of course, a better accuracy, a better sequencing quality, and in the most superficial way, it just means that you get the most accurate information about the DNA you loaded on your sample. So it's definitely a proxy for the quality of the system. You know, as I was saying before, in Illumina, we invested and we keep investing a lot of time into improving this quality from all aspects, from the sample coming in to the sequencing, the optical system, the analysis method, all of them. So this is the first entry point is we need good data to be able to make the analysis. If we get to the next level, the picture is slightly more complicated to some extent as well, because there's other factor limiting quality and hence the accuracy of the analysis. The first one is the sample. You know, we all know that we can sequence DNA, which is very, very ancient. And that one of my favorite facts is, you know, we can sequence the genome of the holy mammoth. So, and that means, you know, DNA is pretty stable. However, when we talk about very high quality, some of the limitations might come from just where the sample is coming from, how it's been treated. And another aspect on the other side is it depends what application we're looking for. Some applications require levels of quality or you know, a certain number of copies of the original DNA that a customer might or might not have. So I think it's very important to think about sequencing quality for what it is and the importance it plays in the technology. It is also very important to understand for each application anybody's running, what is the bottleneck? Is it the sequencing quality? Is the origin of the sample? Is the interpretation capability? I haven't touched upon this yet, but if to understand whether a given mutation is important or not, we need to know, first of all, if it's real or not, and that's where sequencing quality comes into play. But we also need to know whether that has a significance or not in the genetics and the physiology of development. And that's a whole lot of information which has relatively little to do with any one sequencing run, is much more important or is much more tightly correlated with just the wealth of information coming out from the field of genomics.
Great. And you mentioned some of the limiting factors or bottlenecks when it comes to the method, but what were some of the biggest challenges when you were developing or researching XLEAP SBS, and kind of how did you overcome them to reach this level of success?
Yes. Sorry, difficult question, because there were many. Let's put it that way. No. It's a very fair question. You know, I'm a researcher at heart, so difficulties is, you know, what we need to overcome and develop. I think was touching upon it before briefly. SBS has been a highly fine-tuned system for a long time. And this is precisely what I just said. We as Illumina, we really wanted to make sure that the correlation between what the DNA looks like when it's put inside our sequencers and the information coming out is, you know, as identical as possible. So optimizing SBS was a key factor in making sure there are no, let's say, artifacts generated in the system to an extent that will make, you know, the analysis more difficult. So when we started twisting or, you know, touching or changing some aspects, even though we knew that they will bring some benefits, for example, the ability to remove the cold storage line during the shipping of the reagents, we needed to do an awful lot of investigation to make sure that we weren't affecting any of these other possible artifacts. And you know, without entering too much in detail, even the nature of, you know, the nature of the buffer, you know, the composition of the reagents, how they're formulated. Then, you know, one thing is, you know, for me to go in the lab and formulate this much of a reagent is very different when you need to do liters to be shipped across the globe. So everything in the formulation and the composition of the SBS reagent had to be revisited between SBS and XLEAP SBS, revalidated, very often re-improved and changed in very different way for this to really become a product at the standard that Illumina expects to deliver any product, which is incredibly high.
So throughout the course of this chat, we've heard about the past of next generation sequencing, the present with XLEAP, and now we're going to look at the future a little bit. Where do you personally see the technology of next generation sequencing heading in the next 5 to 10 years?
Not a very good question. I think we sort of started with this, talking about personalized medicine. I think this is there to stay, and it's going to be the future, hopefully, for all of us. I think, you know, having personalized treatment is just a fantastic scenario to think about. But what it does mean, you know, personally, I think that what we'll see in the future is a further layering of information. Now, we spend most of this chat talking about sequencing and DNA sequencing in particular. There's more than that. You know, there's RNA sequencing, there's epigenomics, there's the study of biological molecules, for example, from the immune repertoire system to proteins and so on. And this is broadly speaking like called multi-omics. So I personally think that in the future we'll see a lot more of that. But if you think about this, it's sort of, you know, you have the genetic information, which is a static one in a genome, then you have what happens during your life, then how external factor will influence how your body responds to things and so on. And these all different biomarkers actually provide this information. So I think the multi-omics, we're going to see an explosion of it in the future. We're going to see all this additional information coming to play. And then in the end, to help people make an informed decision about, you know, treatments, genetic diseases, by even other factors like, you know, drug development, for example, or even you know, pathogen surveillance as well. We're going to see more and more information being included in all of this analysis. That's definitely, you know, what I see in the field. What I also think is going to be more and more important for customers, I sort of touched upon it during our chat, is for sequencing system to become more and more easy and straightforward to use. You know, the expansion of the user genomics will necessarily be linked with more people using it, and we can't expect everybody to be, you know, somebody has been working with an NGS for 20 years in their lab. So we'll need to see, and there's strong commitment from Illumina on this, to see system become easier and really responding to what the customer need in terms of ease of use, scale, complexity, level of information, and so on. So I think we'll be to pass, you know, the increase of information and the increase of usability of NGS in the field. And then, as I was saying before, our customers are fantastic at then coming up with new ideas, new solutions, and new creative way to use the information. So that's what personally I love being at Illumina. You get to a certain point, and then, you know, your baby gets his own life, and then people make the most of what you deliver.
We've mentioned about you know, innovations with Illumina in terms of the future. How are those innovations impacting the past in terms of legacy products?
Right, so we're talking about before about XLIP SBS and how this is one of the example of innovation at Illumina. In terms of how we're going to be using it and deploying it, the NovaSeq X that came out earlier this year has been already including XLIP SBS from day one, which has meant, you know, the instrument has been designed around it, and we see all the benefit bringing into the combination between XLIP SBS and lyophilization in delivering this cold chain disruption, better stability, and better delivery of our reagents. Now, we believe in XLIP SBS. We believe this is going to be the chemistry for the future at Illumina. So besides using it in future platform, future instruments, we're also bringing it back to legacy one, in particularly the NextSeq 1000 and 2000, which is an instrument released a few years back, which is a fantastic instrument, has been very disruptive in its market segment. Now XLIP SBS is going to come to that instrument, so all the different configuration will come out with XLIP SBS in 2024. We think it's going to be a fantastic upgrade for the reagent for our customer. We expect, you know, we don't have the precise numbers yet because it hasn't been released, but we expect to see quality improvements, read length benefits. We also expect to see some pricing differences, and more importantly, a runtime reduction for our instrument, which I think we all believe is going to be very impactful for our customers.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a really exciting series of developments in the future with Illumina right at the forefront. So you've provided a really interesting overview of this technology. I know that I've learned a lot. But is there anything else you'd like our listeners or us to know about Illumina or the future of genomic sequencing that you maybe haven't touched on?
I think maybe I'll do it slightly more general because it was fantastic to be here. I think, you know, I worked in the Illumina, particularly in R&D, for a long time. There's so much going on in R&D. For very obvious reason, just a small part of it maybe goes out, becomes in a platform, or is communicated. Everything tends to be bundled in the solution we have, which is exactly what our customer need, you know, a solution. They don't need one technology, they need a solution. But I think this was a fantastic opportunity to actually communicate a little bit of everything going on behind the scenes as well. And while I think, you know, Illumina is generating these fantastic products because of everything that goes into it, and that I'm really excited to see what's going to happen in the future, thanks to this technology being available in the market.
Absolutely. And it's been great, like you said, to learn a bit more about the behind the scenes stuff and all of the work that went into developing this technology.